Puede ser con Claire Twain, Carolina Arango, and I'm the director of Investor Relations at Grupo Argos. Joining us today, we have Juan Esteban Calle, the company's president, Felipe Sisabar, vice president of strategy and finance, Rafael Olivella, vice president of legal affairs, Juan Esteban Mejia, manager of corporate affairs, and the management teams from Odinsa, the real estate business, and Pactiv. I'd like to remind you that we've made all the quarterly information available on our website, along with the presentation we'll be using during the conference call. To download it, please go to the Investors Relations menu and then to the Reports section. I invite you to turn to slide 3 of the presentation to begin the meeting, and now I'll turn the floor over to Juan Esteban Calle. Thank you, Carolina, and good morning, everyone. I'd like to extend a special thanks to you all for joining us today. On August 5th, we presented ACE 1.0, Argos Convergence Effort, our roadmap to accelerate the generation, capture, and transfer of value with a very specific goal: to help Grupo Argos' market price converge towards its fundamental value. To achieve this, we have structured the program around 3 pillars: operational excellence, consolidation of the asset management business, and acceleration of the share buyback program. Moving forward, we will include updates on this roadmap in our earnings presentation to the market, rigorously tracking the program's goals, milestones, and results, and we'll show you how its execution is progressing and how each initiative contributes to creating value for our shareholders. The initial reception of ACE 1.0 was positive and confirms that the market values and understands the program's rationale. Analysts have highlighted that ACE provides a clear roadmap for closing the value gap at Grupo Argos, with targets related to EBITDA growth, dividends, share buybacks, and improved portfolio visibility. They have also positively highlighted the evolution of Odinsa into Grupo Argos Asset Management and Grupo Argos' clear role as a capital allocator. On the trading day following the announcement, the common stock rose 6% and the preferred stock 5.3%, reflecting an initial favorable market reaction to the program. From August 5th to date, common stock has risen 30% and preferred stock 21%. We recognize that this is an initial reaction and a vote of confidence that will materialize in greater value creation as cash flows are generated for Grupo Argos and its shareholders. With this mindset, let's now review the key developments and results of businesses during the second quarter of 2026. To do so, I'd like to turn the floor over to Felipe Aristizabal, CFO of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Juan, and good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide 5 to begin our review of the operating results of our businesses. Cementos Argos met significant program during the second quarter in building two platforms that will mark the company's next phase, Argos Materials and Argos Latam. This separation represents the natural evolution of the path the company has been diligently charting through the spin-off of Argos USA, the merger with Summit Materials, and the subsequent monetization of that stake. Today, Argos is applying the experience to develop two businesses with greater focus, autonomy, and capacity to realize the value creation potential. This evolution also requires capabilities that enable us to operate simpler, more efficient, and more scalable structures. In this context, the recent go-live of the ERP system Argos Latam represents a significant milestone. More than just a large-scale technology project executed on time and within budget, the system's launch solidifies SUMA, our digital service center, as a strategic enabler for the Argos business group. With more than 1,200 employees, improving capacities to integrate operations, digitalize processes, and rapidly deploy solutions, SUMA provides us with the flexibility to grow, incorporate new assets, and capture efficiencies. Along the same lines, and as we announced within the framework ACE, at Argos Latam, we aim to deepen profitability and organically increase EBITDA by more than $75 million over the next 12 to 24 months, raising EBITDA generation from levels close to $350 million to approximately $425 million. This goal is driven by three key factors: cost leadership, profitable volume growth, and greater volume capture per marginal metric ton, accompanied by a disciplined price management. Colombia will be the main driver of this growth. Today, it accounts between 55 and 60% of Argos LATAM's EBITDA and has an efficient cost structure, which gives the company significant operational leverage as demand recovers. In 2025, we sold nearly to 3.8 million metric tons of cement in the country, and this year we expect to reach approximately 4.2 million metric tons. Looking ahead, a sustained market recovery could push shipments to levels close to 5 million metric tons, with a contribution exceeding $85 per marginal metric ton. Volume growth, coupled with a disciplined price management, has a significant potential to translate directly into EBITDA. During the second quarter, we saw clear progress towards achieving this goal. In Colombia, the recovery in volumes continued with year-over-year growth of 5.5% in cement and 15.9% in ready-mix concrete, driven by housing, self-construction, and infrastructure. In Guatemala, volumes tripled compared with the second quarter 2025 and now are approaching 10,000 metric tons per month, driven by exports from our Rio Blanquito plant in Honduras. This is the first phase of an expansion strategy in Guatemala, where we have the capacity to continue gaining scale in Central America's largest cement market by strengthening our commercial presence and consolidating small importers. In Venezuela, we also continue to make steady progress. During the quarter, we exceeded the initial target of 5,000 metric tons per month, completing the first phase of our re-entry into this market through land-based exports. The next step is to scale up supply by sea form from Cartagena, taking advantage of its location and competitiveness. And in a third phase, we aim to rebuild a significant local presence, subject to the evolution of conditions in the country and to the eventual realization of the rights associated with the assets that were expropriated from the company without compensation. At the same time, Argos LATAM continues to expand the Fremantle market and greenlight models throughout the region, focusing on brand strength, technical consulting, and the digital self-service throughout Argos One. In Colombia, this approach has enabled us to increase ROCE from 8% to 15% over the past 5 years. The priority now is to replicate these capabilities in other regions with a focus on operational reliability, network optimization, commercial strength, and capital discipline. At Argos Materials, during the quarter, we consolidated a management team with specific experience in aggregates, construction materials, operations, and M&As. This team is led by Jason Teter, CEO, who has an extensive track record in the U.S. building materials industry and who has previously introduced to the market Kendall Gregory, CFO, with more than 10 years of financial experience in the building materials, manufacturing, and industrial sectors, including executive positions at Hood Industries and CRH. Chad Weems, COO, with extensive experience in operations and engineering in the U.S., aggregate business, and an 11-year career in Martin Marietta, and Juan Camilo Martinez, country manager in the Dominican Republic, who has had strategies at Cementos Argos and M&A and corporate strategies at Grupo Argos and has played a key role in the structuring of Argos Materials. This team will be responsible for executing the business plan and developing the operational, commercial, and financial capabilities necessary to scale the platform in the United States. Additionally, we know that during this quarter, the third test shipment to Tampa was successfully completed, meeting expected quality standards and validating the reliability of the logistics chain to the United States. The platform is also making progress in engineering, permitting, expanding quarry capacity in the Dominican Republic, and securing port capacity. At the same time, Argos Materials continues to evaluate M&A opportunities with discipline, seeking assets that add strategic and financial value to the platform. Demand fundamentals and target markets remain attractive, driven by infrastructure and new source of consumption, such as data centers. In the quarterly operational results, Cementos Argos reported a recovery in volumes and maintained positive momentum in revenue and EBITDA. Cement volumes reached 2.3 million metric tons, up 2% from the second quarter of 2025, while concrete volumes totaled 637,000 cubic meters, up 19% year over year. Revenue totaled in 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos, up 2% compared to the same period last year, and EBITDA reached 279 billion Colombian pesos. In Colombia, demand continued to show a significant recovery, particularly in the retail self-built segments. Local segment volume grew, supported by projects such as Tunnel de Oriente, the Metro de la Ochenta, Cuora, and other infrastructure initiatives. Revenues in Colombia grew 4% and EBITDA reached 201 billion Colombian pesos, a 13% increase year over year. In Central America, cement volumes increased 20.8%. Panama continues to show signs of recovery, driven by housing and infrastructure, while in Honduras, there are early signs of a recovery in demand following a challenging start to the year. In the Caribbean, cement volumes remained stable and revenue grew 2.1%. Operations in the Dominican Republic returned to normal during the quarter, reaching the highest volume of shipments ever recorded for the month of June. Furthermore, as a result of the strengthening of the insurance program, the company has already recovered $1 million related to the loss we reported in our previous earnings call and expect to recover an additional $3.5 million during the second half of this year. Taken together, these results reflect a company that is simultaneously advancing in the execution of its strategic transformation and in that in the consolidation of sustainable profitability and in operations. In Celsia, we'd like to begin by sharing more details regarding the efficiency and deleveraging goals that are part of ACE 1.0. First, we will seek to expand the EBITDA margin from 30.9% in 2025 to levels above 40% by the end of 2028. A goal supported by three sources: between 500 and 600 basic points for operational excellence, between 200 and 300 basic points for investment consolidation, and between 100 and 200 basic points from disciplined capital allocation. The business in purchasing is pursuing its path to operational efficiency through a remarginal, which by the end of June had achieved savings of 62 billion Colombian pesos, equivalent to 84% of the 74 billion targeted for 2026. Furthermore, regarding debt, ACE set the target to reduce debt by 1 trillion Colombian pesos over the next 12 months. As of June, net debt stood at 4.85 trillion Colombian pesos, and the net to EBITDA ratio was 3.22% compared to 3.56% a year ago. During the quarter, net debt repayments totaled 224 billion Colombian pesos. In this regard, BRC Ratings reaffirmed for the fourth consecutive year the AAA rating on Celsius SA ordinary bonds, and Fitch Ratings confirmed Celsius Colombia's highest national rating of AAA with a stable outlook. These ratings indicate that improvements in profitability and deleveraging are underway while we preserve the company's financial strength. In light of the Nino phenomenon, as it currently has hydroelectric generation capability, thermal backup, and firm power supply contracts in place, reservoir levels stand at approximately 82%. The company has thermal backup from El Tesorito and Media Electrica. It maintains gas supply contracts that have been fulfilled as normal, and it retains a contracting level of nearly 70%, which gives its greater flexibility to capture prices at the spot market without compromising supply to its customers. The situation could extend into the first quarter of 2027, depending on its intensity and duration. But beyond this current situation, the Colombian electricity system faces a structural challenge due to the backlogs that have accumulated over the last 4 years in a new generation transmission capacity. With this in mind, we believe the country must make progress in streamlining prior consultations, restoring a stable regulatory framework, ensuring the acceleration of transmission and distribution projects, securing hydroelectric and thermal backup, restoring the domestic gas supply, and guaranteeing liquidity throughout the entire chain by catching up on subsidies and obligations. We appreciate the new government's signal aim to accelerate new projects and consider it's essential that this translate into decisions that allow for the timely addition of megawatts the country requires. Celsia and Grupo Argos Asset Management will continue to contribute ¿Qué puede decir? The quarter results, Celestica reported revenue of 1.35 tr trillion, representing 3% increase compared to second quarter of 2025. Consolidated EBITDA. Power generation totaled 1,050 gigawatt hour, a 19% decrease compared to the same period last year, partly due to the decision to raise reservoir levels ahead of the arrival of El Niño. Sales totaled 1,048 gigawatt hour, up 10%, driven by higher demand. Breaking down revenue, power generation contributed 330 billion Colombian pesos. Sales reached 814 billion Colombian pesos, growing 8.4%. Grid use and connection contributed 146 billion Colombian pesos, and other operational services totaled 59 billion Colombian pesos. For the first half of the year, EBITDA totaled 756 billion Colombian pesos, with a margin of 28.8%. On a pro forma basis, excluding costs associated with the operational transformation, the cumulative margin would reach 31.2%. Net income for the quarter totaled in 82.5 billion Colombian pesos, and net income attributed to the partner company owners was 43 billion Colombian pesos. In the investment platform segment, C2 Energy already has an installed capacity of 580 megawatts, and during the quarter, its revenues grew 65%, while EBITDA increased 75.8% with a margin of 87.5%. Atera signed the Comayagua 2 contract with Argus Honduras for 23 megawatts of solar capacity and 80 megawatts of battery storage. Coaba maintained an EBITDA margin above 84%, and El Tesorito continues to meet 100% of its firm power obligation. These developments are significant due to the operational contribution and because they consolidate capacities that could be progressively integrated into the asset management model defined by ATEIS to the Grupo Argos Asset Management, allowing Celsi to remain focused on its operations as a pure-play utility. And now let's move on to Odensa. The evolution we announced with the ACE framework towards Grupo Argos Asset Management represents the expansion of capabilities the company has built over more than a decade in origination, structuring, asset management, and relationships with institutional investors. We decided to implement this evolution at Odensa because it's currently the organization's ideal vehicle to scale this model, as its management strategic infrastructure assets has experience with third-party capital vehicles, possesses a proprietary pipeline of nearly 6 billion, and has demonstrated the ability to structure, finance, and operate complex projects. The AAA rating obtained during the quarter reinforces the company's financial strength, which will be key and will instill confidence in the capital raising process that the company will lead by bringing together capital from local and global institutional partners. Under the structure presented to ACE, Grupo Argos will assume the role of capital allocation and, subject to the relevant corporate and regulatory approvals, will directly hold stakes in the operating platforms to channel cash flow to the holding company. Additionally, it will act as the anchor LP alongside with Macquarie Asset Management, which is currently a partner in the platform's equity and has expressed interest in increasing its investments. For its part, Grupo Argos Management will be the business group's sole asset manager, responsible for identifying opportunities, structuring projects, managing assets, and raising capital locally and internationally. Platform encompasses sectors such as railways, airports, water, energy, and real estate income, as well as other infrastructure opportunities that meet the portfolio returns criteria. The goal is to streamline operations, avoid redundancies, and grow with a greater share of third-party capital. In this regard, during the second quarter of this year, Odense continued to make progress on the acquisition of Dixa and on preparing for its integration into the portfolio. The priority is to combine structuring, operational, commercial development capabilities to consolidate a platform specializing in water treatment, reuse, and water solutions, thereby realizing the value proposition that underpinned the transaction. We expect this transaction to be effectively closed this August so that Dixa will be consolidated in the financial statements starting in September. On the operational front, airport traffic grew 3.6% year-over-year during the quarter. Revenue from highway concessions rose 19%, and Odensa achieved consolidated EBITDA of 39 billion Colombian pesos, Additionally, the pipeline of private initiatives continues to advance in structuring with strategic projects such as El Dorado Max, the new Cartagena Airport, Conexión Centro, and Perimetral de la Sabana. We see a concrete opportunity to mobilize private capital toward essential infrastructure, expand capacity, and improve the country's connectivity without staggering public finances. In road segments, concessions record an average daily traffic volume of 110,000 vehicles, remaining stable compared to the second quarter 2025. In terms of total traffic, the concessions handled nearly 10 million vehicles during the quarter. Revenues reached 372 billion Colombian pesos, up 21% year over year. EBITDA stood at 154 billion Colombian pesos, and net income reached 51 billion Colombian pesos, up 120% compared to the second quarter of 2025. At Autopistas del Café, average daily traffic was 38,000 vehicles, a 2% decline attributed to temporary social dynamics in the catchment areas during the election period. However, revenue grew 9%. At Túnel de Oriente, total traffic reached 3.4 million vehicles, up 2%, and revenue increased by 52%, driven by construction activities for the second phase. At Pacífico 2, traffic grew 6% and revenue increased by 5%, reflecting stable and sustainable demand along the corridor. Meanwhile, the Meta road network recorded traffic for 2.3 million vehicles, representing a 1% growth. Although its performance continues to be affected by the inability to collect tolls at La Libertad toll plaza. At airports, the total traffic reached 12.6 million passengers during the second quarter 2026, representing a 3.6 increase compared to the same period last year. Airport revenues totaled $198 million, up 12% year over year. EBITDA reached $89 million, an increase of 10%, and the net income was close to $40 million, up 18%. In Opaín, El Dorado handled 11.3 million passengers, a 4% increase compared to the second quarter of 2025. Domestic traffic reached 7 million passengers and international traffic 4.3 million, growing 7%. Revenue totaled 518 billion Colombian pesos, while EBITDA reached 173 billion Colombian pesos, and net income was of 84 billion Colombian pesos, up 35%. At Quibdó, Mariscal Sucre Airport handled 1.31 million passengers. Revenues reached $57 million, up 10%. EBITDA stood at 42 million, an 8% increase, and net income was of 14.7 million, down 14% due to the expiration of the free trade zone tax benefit in November 2025. In the urban development business, the priority we announced as part of the ACE framework is to accelerate the monetization of assets and increase cash generation while moving forward with its separation from Grupo Argos to provide a clearer view of its performance and enable opportunities for value creation. In this vein, during the second quarter, we launched a call for proposals for a new multi-tier urban development project in Barranquilla, covering 14.4 hectares of developable land. In July, the process received bids equivalent to seven times the area offered, a strong indication of the value, location, and turnover potential of our land bank, as well as the investment appetite in Barranquilla. This result reaffirms that we have a land bank valued at more than $500 million, which has generated more than 400 billion Colombian pesos in cash flow over the past 5 years and has attracted investments totaling more than 4 trillion Colombian pesos for the city. We expect to sign purchase and sales agreements during the second half of the year for approximately 226 billion Colombian pesos, with estimated cash flow of 48 billion Colombian pesos in 2026 and 115 billion Colombian pesos in 2027, thereby continuing to demonstrate the business ability to capture land appreciation and convert into cash. During the quarter, the company posted results that exceeded those of the same period last year, both in the income statement as in the cash flow. During the second quarter, cash flow from operations reached 52 billion Colombian pesos, up 99% compared to the same period 2025, and net cash flow was positive of 23 billion Colombian pesos. This performance allowed the company to close the quarter with a positive net cash flow of 23 billion Colombian pesos, even after paying property tax and fulfill of obligation to customer. Year to date through June, net cash flow was positive of 4 billion Colombian pesos compared to a negative cash flow of 47 billion Colombian pesos the same period. In our income statement, revenue totaled 54 billion Colombian pesos, up 123% year over year. Revenue from land sales reached 43.527 billion Colombian pesos, an increase of 363%, and EBITDA was of 17 billion 843 million. These results primarily reflect the activation of contractual clauses, the registration of 2 lots in Barranquilla, and the account recognition of deferred revenue associated with the fulfillment of urban planning obligations related to the sales from prior periods. At Pactia, I would like to begin with the most significant event from A's perspective. On July 31, the fund signed an agreement with Mallplaza to sell the 8 Grand Plaza shopping centers for 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos. This is the first monetization of a mature, stable asset that we have carried out under the third pillar of the program. Transaction was agreed upon at a value close to the asset's book value, which amounted to 1.22 trillion. This benchmark is important because it demonstrates the ability to monetize institutional assets close to their book value and convert that the value into liquidity. For the fund's investment, the transaction represents liquidity for 689 billion Colombian pesos during the second half of the quarter. After paying the debt and transaction costs, Grupo Arcos will receive approximately 260 billion Colombian pesos. These funds increase the flexibility to execute our capital allocation agenda, including accelerating the share repurchase program based on the premise that these transactions will generate returns substantially higher than the cost of capital. The sale also contributes to the optimization of Pactia's financial structure. We estimate that the loan-to-value ratio could fall below 20% by the end of 2026, and that the interest coverage ratio could reach 3.1 times in 2027. Finally, the monetization demonstrates the fund's ability to develop, stabilize, and exit an institutional portfolio of income-generating real estate assets in less than 10 years. In its quarterly operation results, Pactia reported gross cash revenue of 116 billion Colombian pesos, up 3% year-over-year, and EBITDA of 67 billion Colombian pesos, with an increase of 22%. On a like-for-like basis, gross cash revenue grew 6%, and EBITDA increased 22% during the first half of the year. Occupancy for the non-hotel portfolio closed 96.3% during the first half of the year. Leases totaling 93% square meters were renewed, and new leases totaling 24% square meters. The retail and logistics segments posted growth, while the hotel segments was impacted by lower RevPAR during the quarter. We now turn to Grupo Argos' financial results. Before delving into the figures, it's important to note that during 2025, the portfolio underwent significant changes, including the monetization of the investment in the United States and the spin-off Grupo Argos, which affect comparability between periods. For this reason, in addition to the reported figures, we will present analysis and a comparable basis that isolates the main extraordinary effects and provides a clear understanding of the recurring performances of the businesses. In this regard, for the second quarter of 2026, the separate results will present exclude the effects of the sales of sales as share carried out as part of its share repurchase program, while the consolidated results do not take into account the effects of the sales of small hydroelectric plants. In the pro forma standalone results, cumulative revenue through June totaled 387 billion Colombian pesos. EBITDA reached 261 billion Colombian pesos. With these results, the EBITDA margin stood 67%, reflecting Grupo Argos' operational cash generation capacity in new phase of greater focus efficiency capital. To facilitate this lecture or this reading, in the second quarter of comparable is, we shared revenues reached 387 billion Colombian pesos and EBITDA reached 261 billion Colombian pesos, a net income for 174 billion Colombian pesos. With these results, the EBITDA margin stood at 67%. The structure expenses increased 4% compared to June 2025, primarily due to costs associated with the company's operational and structural transformation. These efforts are part of the evolution towards a more efficient holding company with simpler structures and greater capacity to allocate capital. Finally, the separate net debt was placed in 225 million Colombian pesos. The reduction of the same period the previous year responds to less contribution of the participation method that Cementos Argos has and the effect that it had in 2025, the decision by absorption with Grupo Sura. With the comparable base, the comparable base cumulative revenue through June reached 400 for two. Further than the effects that compensate this effect, the quarter presents a holding that operates with a comparable EBITDA margin of 67%. It's a figure that's comparable in this phase of more focus and discipline in the capital allocation at a consolidated level. The revenues accumulated reach 5.5 trillion Colombian pesos, maintaining stable with the same period 2025. EBITDA closed in 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos with a drop of 2%. The EBITDA margin was located in 25.8%. Over the comparable base that was presented, the revenues reached 5.4 trillion EBITDA, 1.4 trillion, and the EBITDA margin maintained itself in 26%. This analysis provides a clear view of the business requiring performance, isolating the main extraordinary effects that impacted the competition. The change in the EBITDA is primarily due to higher non-recurring overhead expenses associated with the operational and structural transformation processes that Celsia and Audiencia have been implementing. At the same time, comparable basis consolidated net income reached 362 trillion. At the same time, we continue to see progress in financial discipline. Interest expenses total 659 trillion Colombian pesos, down 11% compared to the first half of 2025, primarily due to debt amortization and the impact of foreign exchange differences. This trend complements the evolution of the capital structure, which we'll detail later, and help strengthen the organization's financial capability. Finally, the net consolidated debt was placed in 338 billion Colombian pesos and controlling in 668 billion Colombian pesos. The comparison the 2.4 of the first quarter of 2025 is determined mainly by the investment and the disinvestment of Summit Materials. Over the comparable base, we reached 336 billion Colombian pesos and the controller 161 billion Colombian pesos. At the end of June, the consolidated net debt was located in 9.8 billion Colombian pesos, reducing 14% of 2025. And by segment, it is composed mainly of 5.2 trillion Colombian pesos in energy, 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos in the business materials, in construction materials, 1.2 in Grupo Argos, and 215 billion Colombian pesos in concessions. Because the net debt was located in 674 billion Colombian pesos. In addition, the financial expenses dropped 24%, going from 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos to 833 billion Colombian pesos. This position offers capacities to execute the capacities without compromising the capacity of the company. In the holding, the net closed in 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos with a drop of 15% compared with June 2025. Net debt was placed at 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos with a reduction of 30%. The funding structure is composed by 60% in banks and 40% in bonds. 60% of the debt is preference to IDR and 30% of IPC. And net debt was located in 3 years and that debt over the portfolio was 7.5%, very low, under the limit of 18% associated to the AAA rating. Net debt over dividends 1.2%, and the EBITDA adjusted was 1.2% under the maximum levels associated to the rating. These indicators show the flexibility of the company that we have to execute capital allocation and active asset management. In terms of the separated cash flow, Grupo Argos started the cash flow with 216 billion Colombian pesos and closed June 2026 with a cash of 200, 526 billion Colombian pesos during the company, and received dividends for 297 billion Colombian pesos and paid dividends for 246 million Colombian pesos, a billion Colombian pesos. The urban development business contributed cash flow for 94 billion Colombian pesos, while the expenses were 47 billion Colombian pesos. The expenses of Grupo Argos reached 36 billion Colombian pesos. The company also recorded taxes for 88 billion Colombian pesos and net interest for 45 billion Colombian pesos. The ending cash position maintains a conservative and profitable position. It includes investments in AAA rated CDTs in totaling 385 billion Colombian pesos dollar denominated guarantees and of approximately $23.6 million in dollar denominated investments for close to $3 million. The return of temporary investments in pesos was 13.4%, while investments in dollars yielded a return of approximately 3.85%. Over the companies maintains a robust liquidity position sufficient to meeting financial obligations, preserves strategic flexibility, and continues executing its value creation. Finally, Fitch Ratings and S&P reaffirmed Grupo Argos ratings with stable outlook. The main companies in portfolio also holds ratings at the highest levels in local scales. S&P highlighted Grupo Argos' solid business positions, which reflects the structural strength and consistency of its business strategy. The rating agency emphasized that investments in high growth segments with attractive returns will continue to be pillars of the organization's financial sustainability. For this part, Fitch noted that the ratings reflected a solid capital structure, credit metrics that will remain healthy over the projected period. This reaffirmation confirms the quality of the Grupo Argos assets, the strength of its capital structure, and the company's ability to continue executing its strategy for profitable growth. Thank you, Philippe. And now that the results have been presented, I think it's important to tell you that we're doing in response and strategy that occurred in Colombia with the August 10th earthquake. In response to the crisis, Grupo Argos and its companies are providing humanitarian aid to employees who were affected and have initiated a process for the rehabilitation of or reconstruction of their homes. In addition, we're advancing payments to suppliers in Chocó, the Cauca region, and Valle del Cauca to provide them with liquidity so they can weather the situation, and we are analyzing additional measures. Finally, we announced that Grupo Argos Foundation artist Nicky Jam have joined forces to launch Adopta Un Hogar, a company throughout which they will donate 13 billion Colombian pesos for the reconstruction of the homes, with the aim of contributing to the well-being of the most affected families. The goal is to bring together individuals and companies so that we can raise a total of 26 billion Colombian pesos and multiply the impact. This initiative completes the efforts made in recent days by employees and family members of Argos Business Group and the foundation, who have contributed for more than 1 billion Colombian pesos. These funds are being used to provide more than 70,000 liters of water and essential supplies in Chocó, the Cauca region, and Valle del Cauca. For those who wish to join us, we have set up the website www.adoptonogar.com, where you can sign up as volunteers and make your financial donations. Finally, concluding, I would like to reiterate that Grupo Argos is moving forward with a greater focus, efficiency, and discipline, backed by a high-quality asset space and business operating sectors essential to the region's economic and social development. During the quarter, Cementos Argos made progress in building its Argos Materials and Argos Latam platforms, while showing a recovery in volumes and growth in revenue and EBITDA. Celsa continues to execute its deleveraging and margin expansion plans while also preparing to address the current economic climate. Odensa strengthened its role as an infrastructure asset manager, achieved a AAA credit rating, and continued to make progress in its water business and project pipeline. The urban development business significantly improved its cash flow, and Pactia announced a major transaction to monetize assets and optimize its capital structure. In addition, on August 12, Grupo Argos Preferred Stock was included in the MSCI Small Cap Index, increasing its visibility among local and international investors and strengthening its position in the capital markets. This inclusion represents a significant step forward with the ACE framework and in Grupo Argos' position in international capital markets. The results were reviewed today. are consistent with the program and roadmap we have defined to bridge the gap between Grupo Argo's fundamental value and the value currently recognized by the market. This concludes our presentation of the second quarter 2026 results. Carolina, we can now open the floor for questions. Just want you all that you can ask your questions in the Q&A widget that's enabled in the Zoom platform. We'll start by giving the word to Santiago Villanueva, who's part of Corredores Villanueva. Hello, everyone. Can you listen? Can you follow? Oh, thank you. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My question has to do with the consolidation of Grupo Argo's role in the asset management in Celsius conference call. There was a larger probability of selling the infrastructure. The infrastructure sales, but Tesorito de Terra was less probable. Maybe if you could give us more information about which would be the assets that you would sell eventually. Santiago, thank you for the question. As you say, we explained during the call, ACE launch, we will have just one manager in the business group. That's going to be the evolution of Audiencia towards Grupo Argos Asset Management when we expect to concentrate all the infrastructure verticals. Celsia has a compromise of deleveraging with the market at least for 1 trillion Colombian pesos in 2026. And that's why it's exploring the disinvestment of some assets, including the platforms C2 and Caoba. But this is a process that's completely open, where we're seeking to maximize the value of those disinvestments for benefit of all the shareholders. What asset management and Grupo Argos Asset Management will do towards the future is having within its acting universe the infrastructure vertical, so within energy. But this is a completely open and competitive process that seeks to maximize the value of those assets. Oh, thank you. And now let's give the word to Gabriel Perez from Credicorp. Good morning, everyone. Wanted to ask if you have any schedule for the new Audiencia projects for the pipeline that you have, and how would this new project enter the new Argos asset management structure? Well, thank you, Gabriel, for the question. Let me give the word to Pierre so he can tell us a bit more about the interactions that he's been having with the new government and what's the expectation around this schedule. No, thank you, Juan. Thank you, Gabriel. We have 4 IPs. We have one, a national one, which is the expansion of the El Dorado Airport, Cartagena Airport, and Conexión Centro. We are in that process right now. And to include this also in the approval process, but we also have a departmental one that's a Perimetral de la Sabana. All of these concessions, all of those private initiatives are right now in feasibility phase, and we are aiming with the best of our capacities and the will of all of the involved stakeholders in this process to reach allocation at the end of next year. We're accelerating this following the commitment that the government has asked for, how to deploy the strategic projects as fast as we can. So the conclusion is to try to take this until the end of the year, and we're hardly working with the Conexión Centro in order for the park to continue in this moment that's so required within the regions. Thank you, Gabriel. And in terms of structures, as we said, Grupo Argos will be one of the ideas that would participate Yeah, these LTs, sorry, that will be part of this process. It says, Pierre explained, once these initiatives come to the market. So we want to be an anchor LP, and Pierre and his team will be in charge of collecting capital. That will include Macquarie Asset Management as another of the anchor LPs, but also local and international investors. No, thank you, Juan. We also have a question from Javier Villegas, Valores Bancolombia. Good morning to you all. Wanted to ask two things. First, you've spoke about the expectations for the second quarter and what Jean-Pierre just mentioned. But I don't know if you have any additional topics or expectations for the second half of the year, and also about the advancements that can be achieved within the ACE program. This is the first question. Second question would be about the shopping malls sale, and when will this be executed? When will this business be executed, and with whom this business was carried out with? Thank you, Javier, for the second half of the year in ACE. We're expecting that the results of the company keep evolving positively. We've said that in terms of keep monetizing some assets or taking advantage of these opportunities, there's two refinancing opportunities that are relevant within Odinsa that will bring important flows for the company in the second half of the year. And we'll also place in the market a couple of mature assets that Odinsa has in this second semester, who can complement this disinvestment that Celsia has already mentioned. So we have lots of expectations in terms of ACE advancements for the second quarter. Cementos Argos has announced relevant steps in the re-entry of the company towards Venezuela. So we're also expecting to get good news about this. And also as Argos LATAM and Argos Materials, we also have a positive news from speaking about advancements that we can expect from ACE for the rest of the year. Now, let me ask Maria Clara if she can tell you a little bit more about the disinvestments of the Ipaccio shopping center. That's actually one of the most relevant news that we have in the sector. Thank you, Juan, and thank you, Javier, for the question. The due date for this transaction is going to be listed for the 30th of September this year. There will be a minimum payment of 50%, and Mallplaza Plaza can finance the other 50% for 30% to a rate that we have already agreed upon. Supposing that 100% is delivered 30th of September, shareholders will receive 689 billion Colombian pesos during those 2 weeks for Grupo Argos. It was mentioned by Juan Esteban. This would be 260 billion Colombian pesos in cash. Fund will have a loan to value that's a loan to value less than 20%, and interest coverage higher than 3 times. And as we said, it's very important to monetize these assets as close as to its book value. Thank you, Maria. Now let's give the word to Catherine Ortiz from Corredores da Vivienda so she can ask her questions. Hello, good morning. You follow? Good morning. Thank you, everyone. I have a couple of simple questions. The first one is related with the earthquake that happened in Colombia. I wanted to know if some of the assets that the group counts with were affected, because I know Celsia, there were certain effects, but in terms of Autopistas del Café concession, for Odinsa and understanding if this how does this impact work? Are the insurance companies responding for this? It will be, or is the same concessionaire that would respond for any damages, or if there's any other additional assets that have been harmed? And the second question is related with Paktia. I'm sorry if I didn't listen to that specific figure, but I would ask, please, if you could repeat that figure. Discount versus equity value, these investments were carried out at, and after these investments, what's the equity value of Pactia's fund, excluding the sale of these assets? Thank you, Catherine, for your two questions. Well, first, yeah, we're impacted and very sad with the earthquake we suffered. We are also glad to see the optimism and the solidarity that Colombia has shown from the companies, from the group's companies. We didn't have a significant impact. A bit in Jumbo Celsia, a bit in Jumbo and the cement plant, but generally speaking, I can say that there were no large impacts. So them were pretty marginal. From an impact point of view, the highest one was the households of our collaborators. More than 200 collaborators had their homes affected, but the group will help and supply support for all these collaborators. Very impacted and highly committed with the reconstruction of the country. And in terms of Paktia, the discount or non-discount that the assets were sold, let me give the word to Maria Clara. Thank you, Juan, and thank you, Catherine. You're asking for the discount was close to 3% versus book value, according to an annual appraisal that Colliers does. And this is very important because you know that in the market, this type of assets that are listed have been traded with even up to a 50% discount. So this sends a signal that the sum of the parts is properly valued and could close this perception and this gap in the market with these types of assets. In terms of the fund, before and after, we were speaking about asset management of 3.5 trillion Colombian pesos, which you'd subtract the 1.2 trillion Colombian trillion pesos for this transaction. Okay, Maria Clara, thank you very much. Now let's give the word to Álvaro José Leyva from BTG. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the space. I wanted to ask if you have made any estimations about a possible blackout that might happen in Colombia, given the El Niño phenomenon and the energy deficiency that the country is going through. Well, thank you, Alvaro, for your question. All the efforts have been concentrated in finding the gas that thermal plants need right now, in this particular case, Celsia, in order to avoid a possible blackout. And as Ricardo explained during the Celsius call, we believe that the company is well prepared to face the El Niño phenomenon. Well, thank you, Juan. We don't have any additional questions. Just wanted to thank you all for being with us. Well, oh, thank you for being with us. And we want to unite in those solidarity campaigns favoring those Colombians that have been affected by this tragedy. So we hope to see you soon in the conference call for the third quarter.